Today, so we want to talk about quantum error correction code, fault tolerant quantum computation, and the final part about subsystem codes. So it's a collaboration with the CAC department of the University of Washington, the Information Engineering Department, the University of Siena. So this is the talk roadmap. We will see some fundamental, just to recall, quantum noise-environment interaction. We're going to do classical error correcting codes and quantum error correction. We will analyze stabilizer quantum error correction. And in the final part, we will give a look to subsystem codes and beacon shore codes. So let's start with quantum error correction. There are some problems about the realization of quantum computing. And the first of all is a theoretic one, and is because Schrödinger equation describes only closed system evolution, but real system cannot be considered closed because of the environment interaction. The quantum operation formally is a mathematical toolset to describe quantum noise and open system behavior, because quantum computer needs full control of the quantum interaction to be really reliable. So let's give a look to the environment interaction, just to recall you. The open system analysis is possible because the environment of the open system can be described as rho prime with epsilon acting on rho, and where we describe the density matrix of the system and the density matrix of the environment with a unitary interaction that gives rho acting over epsilon acting over rho. So we obtain epsilon acting over rho by the partial trace over the environment of U acting over rho, tensor rho environment U dagger. And the partial trace operator will give us back the system after the interaction with the environment. So fortunately, we can linearize this interaction. It is linearized by a basis for the environment in the initial state. And we can describe the interaction with this series over K and with this super operator, where AK is the noise operator on the system. So we can go on and look at the noise operator on qubits. So we can describe, as I said before, the interaction with the noise operator acting on qubits 0 and the noise operator acting on the qubit 1 with this channel model. With starting from 0, we have 1 minus p probability to reach the state 1, and so on. We have these operators that form a basis for some for the major kind of errors that happens. So there are bit flip, phase flip, and companion bit flip, bit phase flip errors. So quantum error correction takes most of the properties from classical error correction. And the key idea of error correction is that we need to add redundant information to protect the system from the noise. In this way, it is possible, under certain conditions that we will see, to rebuild the information contents. Even the classical error correction, the linear error correcting codes are the simplest one, but are used in quantum mechanics because of the linearity of quantum mechanics. So, by definition, a linear code is a vector subspace on the Galois field of N, where N is the dimension of the subspace. For example, the ASCII codes is a linear code on GF2. So let's see what is a linear correcting codes. It's defined by the generator matrix with N rows and K columns, whose elements belong to GF2. And the next message of N bits is encoded in a message XC of K bit by the following operation. So XC is the message encoded, is simply the product of the generator matrix for the and times the message. So we will use this notation to denote K bit encoded in N bit. So another tool to describe linear correcting codes are the check parity matrix. This is defined as the kernel of H. So H is an N minus K times N matrix. And what is important in classical linear codes, and this is important also for quantum error correcting codes, is the distance of the codes. Classical is defined such like the differences on the same position of the bits. So, for example, in this case, the Hamming distance is 2. In particular, the distance of the code is the minimum distance with between two words of the codes. So, an example. The simplest way to protect is to add redundant information. In this case, we have 0 3 times and 1 3 times. And this 0 is called logic 0, and this one is called logic 1. This is a way, even CNOT is a quantum gate, but we can use even for bits. And this is the way we encode information. So if this a majority decoding, so the circuit will decide in base of the number of zero and ones which of the bit has flipped. For example, if we have 2 0 and 1 1 in each position, probably with high probability, it was a logic 0. But for quantum codes, there are some problems because, as you know, there's cloning theorem. No cloning theorem avoid us to duplicate in non-quantum states. So another problem is quantum error is a continuous set because, as you know, an error can rotate the block vector around the block sphere. And so it seems to be a non-trivial operation to find out which is the error that has occurred. And the most problematic question is, but if I have to know which error is occurred, I have to measure and I have to make collapse the states. But there are many tricks, and fortunately we can overcome this problem. So we can see that a quantum error correction is a double parenthesis, square parenthesis notation, where is N, like a classical error correcting codes, is the number of qubits of the encoding, K is the number of the encoded qubits, and is the code distance. we will see that the code distance is quite different for quantum error correcting codes. But what is important that if I have a quantum operation epsilon acting on the density matrix, it would be exist a quantum operation, recovery operation R, such that R composed to epsilon acting on the density matrix, we restore the starting density matrix. So we have some quantum error correcting condition because if you suppose that Ci is a code orthonormal basis and this is the span of the Hilbert space of the codes, the principal condition is that the error has to maintain the space orthogonal to be corrected. In this case, the operation, the error elements are called correctable error sets for this quantum operation. So one of the conditions is that an NK code that has distance d can correct, the distance is equal to 2 times t plus 1, where t is the number of correctable errors. For example, codes that has distance 3 can correct an arbitrary error. So we can go to the 3-qubit code where now we have the superposition on the zeta basis of the 0-qubit and the 1-qubit. We can create an entangled state to encode the information that mathematically can be considered a subspace of the Hilbert space. So we have a zero logic and then one logic in the same way like classical error correcting codes. So this is the encoding and this is the error. In this case is a bit flip error. So we can look at error detection with quantum error correcting codes in a simple way by measuring these projectors, and we see that if all these projectors are orthogonal, we have no errors if you make the, this is a simple way to verify this. If you make this measurement on the states, you see that this measurement corresponds to individuates where there are errors are scanned. And this is made by simply these circuits. But there is a, if you try to treat the codes with classical vector subspace, it would be an exponential task in the number of qubits. But fortunately, there is a stabilizer formalism that allows us to consider the codes not by is the code works vector subspace, but with the operators acting on it that stabilize that subspace. Stabilize is, I mean that it corresponds to the plus one eigen values of the operators acting on the single bit. This is the tensor product. This means that the first z act on the first qubit and so on, the second then on the second, they are independent. So stabilizer subgroup is defined as a set of Pauli operators. You know, the Pauli matrix form a group with the inner with the product of the group product that is the tensor product, and the stabilizer is a subgroup of this group and is the set of Pauli operators that stabilize the code. So is the set of states that are stabilized by the action of this operator on it. So for example, for the 3-qubit codes, these are the generators of the subgroup that stabilize the codes. And these, the code works, are the intersection of the subspace stabilized by the generators. So we can look at the error detection tools that are useful to simplify the procedures. If you look at this passage, you can see that if an error occurs on the states, one of the two generators anti-commute with the states, so you can detect and extract the syndromes. And if you remind the commutation rules, with these simple circuits, you can detect the syndromes. So, for example, we have the syndromes for redundancy codes. So the plus one of the two generators means that no errors has occurred and no recovery action needs. Since they are unitary operators, when you locate where is the error, you can act on this qubit in this position with the same operators, because x dagger makes one, makes identity. So this is a STING codes. It's a CSS codes. It's a class of linear codes. There are self-dual and have particular properties. This is the quantum version. And this is made by the check parity matrix. You have to put x where there is 1 in the check parity matrix. This is known in the classical error correction as the Hamming codes. But since you have to correct one arbitrary error, so an x error or a z error on a combination of z and x that is up to a phase is y errors, you can check that this corresponds by symmetry to put z where the entries of the check parity matrix is 1. In this case, you can stick the two parts together. So you can take the Hamming codes and put x where is 1 for all the rows of the check parity matrix of Hamming codes, and z where is 1, and you can stick together to correct an arbitrary error. But you can do this because they commute, and because they form the stabilizer as the property that all the operator have to commute. Another considerations are to be made for logical operation, because the logical operations are not in the stabilizer. So you can act on qubits such a gate, such a unitary operation. The property of logical operation is that you have to find operators that commute with the stabilizer but are not in the stabilizer. So this is called the center of the normalizer of the codes in the group theory. So this is the circuits, and you can see how it is simple to encode information with these gates. And this is the Ancilla qubits that are used to make measurements. So you can see that Hadamard transformation can allow you to measure in the Z basis. So if the plus arrives to the Hadamard without any transformation, without any anti-commutation, you can measure zero. If you measure zero, no errors, that stabilizer doesn't anti-commute. So that stabilizer does tell you any more about this. You have to check the other stabilizer if you look at the concatenation. So you in this way, you can construct the syndromes like we have seen before. So we go to the sure cause. It's the first code that can correct an arbitrary error, and is used this kind of concatenation. You can see there is a repetition code here, and it's concatenated 3 times with tensor products to form a 9-qubit code. This is the subspace, and these are the stabilizers generated of these codes. You can verify that these are even the logical operation. So we can look at the circuitry. This is the encoding of a bit flip circuit. So you have to take states, tensor product with 0 and 0. And so you encode. You have the encoding here, and but an error comes here. And you have all this passage, and this is the CNOT matrix that probably you know. And this is the coding, and the syndrome gives you the position on where the error has occurred. So, fix. You encode into subspace. The errors must to take to orthogonal subspace to maintain orthogonality, and you have here you can check the syndromes. So bit flip and phase flip errors is quite the same thing because it's the same error rotated by the Hadamard transformation. So Z acting on plus gives minus, Z acting on minus gives plus, and this is in the Hadamard rotated basis is a bit flip error. So you can see how to see the Hadamard, and this means that all the poly operators are act under conjugation in the same group that is called Clifford group. So we know that now if I put an Hadamard gate, I can use the same circuitry of a bit flip errors. So we see now the phase errors, circuits, and the same consideration can be made. So let's see to the shortcut summary we have done before. And we see that we have a 2-qubit flip code, a 2-qubit phase flip code, and we have the phase errors, and we can define P like the Hadamard rotate of the zero logic, that is 0B, that is an encoded repetition code, and M. Then the short codes is by Peter Shor on 1995, is given by this structure. So if we give a look to the circuitry, we see that there is a sort of concatenation. And we have here a bit flip code circuitry, and outside we have a phase flip code. So since why is a linear product up to a phase of X and Z errors, this circuitry can correct an arbitrary error that can occur on the states. So we're going to fault tolerant quantum computation. The meaning of fault tolerant quantum computation is that all that consideration are made without considering that a gate can introduce error and the circuit can propagate errors. So we define P, the probability that a circuit can introduce error. And we assume that the probability of the circuit grows like OP squared. That is means that a fault-tolerant procedure comes to the end with I 1 minus CP squared, where C depends only on the circuit. Concatenation methods, like the Shor one, but there are other some concatenation, make grows this probability like this. So the probability is less than 1, this probability go down with a square value. So If you assume that the P of L, the P threshold, is minus this, you reach this condition, and the threshold of the codes is guaranteed by 1 over C. The threshold theorem is that if this condition is satisfied, you can perform a quantum computation for an arbitrary long time. With an overtime on the circuitry that is go as a polylog. For example, a gated is fault tolerant is called transversal. This gate is such that it doesn't introduce more than one error, because if an error happens here or here, goes to the end of the circuit without introducing more than one error. For block, the block is T7. This is a C knot for implementing string codes. Is it possible to realize an encoded universal gate set? And this is, can be made fault tolerant. Gossmann and Neil has demonstrated that if you use stabilizer codes, and if you use this and the gates that are inside the Clifford groups, you can simulate efficiently a quantum computation in a classical computer. So in CERBREN here, we are right to the core of my talk, the subsystem coding. This is a quite recent procedure to protect information and to reduce the number of stabilizers to measure, and even to reduce the number of ancilla qubits that you need to measure the syndrome. This new error correcting subsystem codes, to be honest, doesn't lead to new quantum error codes, but they simplify error correcting procedures. The main idea of subsystem codes is if you have an Hilbert space, you can divide it by a direct sum on epsilon, that is an orthogonal subspace, to the first one, and you can have a subsystem here, D tensor C, where you encode information. So there is, you have an Hilbert space with plus one, minus one eigenvalues, and the code will be on a part of this Hilbert space stabilized. So I mean that there are correspond to the plus one eigenvalues. Subsystem space is a simple. You have an orthogonal, is a direct sum of two spaces. So you D is if you choose the code space, and D is a trace over C. So you have a part of the Hilbert space where. And if you have a subspace, for example, you need only the subspace to encode information. But you can ask if of this subspace I use only a part, and I don't care what's happening on the other part of the subspace. So if you go to the error correction procedures, you can put dirty stuff on the other things just to care to have identity on the, I don't know, if you encode on D or C is the same thing. You have to reach identity on D. You have to restore information only on D. And you don't care about the other subsystem that is called Gauge qubits.
Subsystem
Now, of the subsystem, this is an orthogonal subspace, yeah. But you are the normal subspace is this. And you encode information on D. So you don't care about what happened here. Probably you have stabilized that stabilized this subspace, and so you don't have to measure, because you don't care what happens here. Because if you can't reduce the number of stabilizers to stabilize the code space, but you don't care about what happens in this subspace because you encode in this other part. So you reduce the number of stabilizers, the principal idea that you reduce the number of stabilizers you have to measure. So this is quite a nice picture. So you have umbrella on this subspace, and you don't care about if it rains on the others. This means that when you want to go to a error correction procedure, if you can act some operation that can even transform the other subspace. Just, I don't know if it's something like when you diagonalize a matrix, the construction that you have to reach in one part and identities, and the other part you perform operation just to have a block, and on the other part you don't care about. It's the same idea. So this is encoded subsystem. Here with rho d, you can see that it's different from this here, because you have put some dirty stuff on it. You have, it's not the same, because the recovery action acted to restore information only on this. So here you have the initial state, you have an error, you have a recovery, and the final state is that you have the initial state, but here you don't care about, probably you don't know what has happened on this. So it's obvious that Cripps has demonstrated that error condition changed to this, but it's quite intuitive because you have two subsystems now. And this, but the idea is the same, that they have to be maintained orthogonal. Otherwise, you can lose the property of correcting codes. So this is not a quite known sure code, but it's a code that works on optical square lattice. This is a particular form of concatenation where you have a repetition code with this stabilizer that we have seen before here, the zero logic, and then we have the other mal-rotated basis codes that is always a repetition code. But when you concatenate when you concatenate, you use the Adamar rotates codes to each plus contains a linear combination, an Adamar combination of an encoded zero. So if you look at the properties, here you have a sublock where there is a repetition code stabilized by the repetition code stabilizers. And then you have an outer code that treats each block as a zero, as a, is like a matryoshka. So what you attend is that if you consider X acting on a qubit that is formed by an encoded qubit inside, you have for free X operator acting on the subblock. So we go to picture. So, for example, here you can see that if you start from this, you have a k that is proportional to this one, and this is the repetition codes. And you can encode the Z1, the Z logic, that is this one, on plus logic to minus logic and so on. This is for that. And this, the idea is the same of the short codes, but you have here a score lattice. And the total is that you have a couple of X that stabilize the subblocks, and you have the row, the column in this case. You, it depends on the code that you put inside each other, the concatenation. And in fact, this is asymmetric because, like short code, for example, has bit flip circuits inside and phase flip outside. But when you concatenate, this is a symmetry because you have to choose which one is inner of the other, and is this leads that the consideration that we have made before about X that stabilize a logic words that is even a code inside. The problem is that you create a symmetry. You have to choose which one you encode inside the other. So back on short codes eliminates this asymmetry. This can correct up to n over 2. N over 2 is the floor of n over 2, is this is odd number. But if you think about repetition codes, you have n qubits to encode, and you can correct one error. So this is the floor. And this is the same idea. So you have, instead of having that asymmetry that we have seen before between rows and column X, this is perfectly symmetric. So it has the same property of short codes, but inside, before we have seen that, if my computer, we've seen that we can correct up to n over 2 zeta errors in different subblocks, and n over 2 can be corrected in each subblock, but you encode the information, repetition codes outside, so you can correct all this stuff symmetrically with these codes. We have to the end to this talk because more a subsystem construction of this code have very nice fault tolerant properties, as we see on the conclusion. So we have generalized the Bacon short codes, constructing them in a subsystem version, starting from two linear codes on 2006. In 2007, Ali Ferris and Cross found a new threshold, the best threshold that I know, probably, with these Bacon short codes. More details are in the process anyway. Another paper that's come out recently is the generalization of four QDs. and some remarkable properties, singleton and quantum eigenbounds that are bounds for the encoding information. Work is in progress. Thank you for your attention.
How many qubits does it take in that generalization?
You can use short the Bacon short codes is with repetition codes. We have tried to generalize up to two classical linear codes. So in the Bacon short codes, you can correct up to n over 2 z errors and up to n over 2 x errors. But we have given a look to linear codes and see what are the properties of other codes. To be honest, we have given a look even to other codes like the 5-qubit codes and see how a similar concatenation that is called dimensional concatenation you can find in bibliography with the name of Bacon. We have looked at what properties can have a dimension concatenation of square lattice. But the results, some results come out when you use two linear codes in a rectangular code, in a rectangular lattice, so the two linear codes can be different. We have made a test on concatenated string codes, so 49 qubits, and sometimes we have tried to concatenate to use before an n squared yn short codes and then a concatenated string codes to reach distance 5, but u is not a codes is they are on sequence, they are not concatenates, they are two concatenated codes one after the other. One X and one Z is the same thing. They are the same properties. Yeah. Can you repeat the question? Yeah. 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 I've said n over 2 because if you take a repetition codes is the property of the inner block. But if you take the repetition code, it can correct up to n over 2 errors. So in the repetition code that has 3 qubits, it can correct up to 1 errors. But you can generalize to a repetition code to up to n errors, n over 2. It depends on, the study was about, if you use codes and you try to use codes that are more powerful, you can concatenate in such a way to find a code that, at the cost of a dimensional concatenation of a square lattice, of starting from 7 qubits and arriving to 49 qubits can correct up to arbitrary error. Our opinion is that you can add information to this code. So it lacks something. It lacks or some generators or something other. If you take, so we have moved to look for classical linear codes. Have you seen that if you construct a code, generalize the short codes with the check parity matrix, and you take two linear codes, and you try to concatenate like a Bacon short codes in a rectangular lattice, you obtain, thanks to this symmetry, We have demonstrated we obtain savings over the number of stabilizers you have to measure if you compare to a normal generalized short code started from a linear code. In the post, there are more details if you want to come. If there are some relation between because we go to fault tolerant definition. So you have this probability that is P. I don't know if I have understood your question. Yeah.
So why is there no limitation about using this operational correction?
Yeah, I try to work on file cube decode, but for this kind of concatenation, it gives no advantage to for our research. No, I haven't analyzed. Ah, okay. Actually, they are not operator, are subspace. Yeah, this is an Hilbert space and this is our subspace. No, it's no correlation with environment. I'm sorry for the notation, but epsilon is an orthogonal subspace. Actually, if you take self-correcting quantum memories, you can see in this paper by Bacon, you can see that if you look at the Hamiltonian of the interaction with the environment with this subspace, they have demonstrated that they are decurrence-free subspace, so they are a link to Zanardi and many other that have worked on decurrence-free subspace. So there are some these are, it results that the subspace that you encode is a decurrence-free subspace. I can give you the paper, the result, the Hamiltonian. D is the subspace, or it is the subsystem where you encode, and C, or is you can encode even in C, is the invariant, and C is the other subsystem, I don't know, the other particle that you don't care about the states after an error occurs, and after that the recovery action doesn't care about the state of the other particle, the other subsystem.